too old for this, where we talk about TV shows, movies, and other things that are not meant for our age group, but we still love. I'm Rachel.
I'm Chris.
I'm James. Apologies for the background noise in the back for any of your viewers watching this. That's probably not going to stop for the next 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
We could cover it up with the background music. It's fine.
Gosh.
It's okay. But this season, we're going to be talking about Miraculous Ladybug, and for this episode, we're going to be talking about season 1, episode 2. So, start us off, anyone.
Well, the episode is called Mr. Pigeon.
Which sounds tragic, actually.
Well, it starts off where they're all at school, all the young characters are at school.
The young punks.
The youngsters of the Miraculous era.
In the same classroom,
just sitting there, and they're told that there's going to be a fashion design competition where they have to create, where if you want to enter, you have to create a derby hat. If you win, then Adrian, it's a contest for
the pretty boy.
Yeah, it's a contest hosted by the pretty boy's dad, Gabriel Ingress. Fast start, and if you win and you can enter the contest if you want. If you win and make the winning derby hat, and Gabriel Ingress picks it, then Adrian wears your hat in his next photo shoot. So you get to see pretty boy wearing
thickens.
Your hat.
Plot thickens.
Exactly.
Yes.
Plot thickens.
Apologies if I'm like saying stuff in my next because I'm drawing right now. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Anyway, Chris, continue with your lovely plot summary. I think that was pretty good though.
Okay, thank you. Alright, so then after that, Marinette, she's a fashion designer, that's kinda like her thing. And she's trying to going through her sketchbook, trying to figure out derby hat designs. And then
which she has none of.
Yeah, and Ollie is also looking through her sketchbook. And then Adrian, the pretty boy, comes along and he sees the sketchbook and he's like, "Wow, those are great designs. I didn't know you had such talent." And he says this to Ollie, and Ollie is just like, "No, this is actually Marinette's designs." And Marinette is just too out of it because of the fact that Adrian's there, so she can't even speak or anything, so she's kind of just sitting there smiling.
The fact that Adrian breathes near her turns into a clown.
Yes.
So clumsy.
Literally in the intro, she's just like, "I'm just a normal girl with a normal life."
She's just tripping over.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So I actually love that part in the theme song, because if you actually pay a lot of attention, when she's running in that beginning part where she runs into the screen and trips, a black cat is actually running by her feet right as she trips.
The bad luck.
I never even noticed that.
I know. Really? I didn't notice that until a while after I started watching it, and I was looking through it, and I'm like, "Oh my god, it's a black cat that runs across the screen."
That's the bad luck.
Little fun fact, if you kind of pay a lot of attention, take apart the theme song, you can spot little things. It's pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
So,
it's
yeah.
That Scooby-Doo expose video.
Yeah.
Scooby! What is that?
So anyway, Adrian compliments Marinette's designs, and he's just like, "Oh wow, these designs are great, Marinette. You have a good chance of winning. Who knows? Maybe I'll be wearing your hat during my next photo shoot." and then he leaves, and Marinette's freaking out. She's like, and then she does one of her spiels where she's just like,
spiels.
Oh, I forgot what she said, but it was something
upwards.
No, Ollie is just. Adrian leaves, and Ollie's like, "See that? He thinks it's good. You're good enough to win." And Marinette's like, "It's not even gonna matter. I'll probably end up tripping over Mr. Gress and knocking him over, and my life will be ruined, and Adrian will hate me forever." And she goes on these spiels sometimes where she kind of freaks out and does and says this really random, really weird, unrealistic, horrible hypothetical scenario that could go wrong. And then it's pretty funny.
But, like, a lot of the times that stuff does happen. Like, I understand, like, she's kind of being irrational, obviously, because, you know, I relate to that. But, like, she's also kind of being a little rational because, like, the most random stuff happens. Like, it's like Murphy's Law. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's exactly. So funny, though.
Marinette is, like, very clumsy, especially when she's, like, Marinette and especially... Hold on a second. What?
Wait, excuse Chris while she goes...
Mom? You're interrupting!
We'll edit that out, hopefully.
I don't know if I can edit that out, because then I gotta trim
the footage. Hold on. All right. So Chris just left to get yelled at, but I think she's back now.
Okay, it's fine. Just...
Hello?
Yes, hello.
So anyway, continue where we were talking
about.
Sorry,
that was my mom. She kind of interrupted.
Kinda.
I love that. Also, Marinette's parents... don't get enough shout-outs.
Where are we? Like, what did I miss when I was talking
to
my mom?
No, we didn't...
Okay.
We didn't talk anything.
Alright.
We were just saying...
Alright, thank you.
We were talking about how Marinette is a klutz, like, always.
Yes.
We can get back to the plot. Okay, so she has her little tangent, and then...
That's a good word for a tangent. That's
yeah.
A good word
she goes on her tangent, good. Ollie's like, it'll be fine. And then she goes off to her secret air garden of inspiration, as she calls it.
Right in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, which is kind of like steps on like right this like building thing, like looking at the Eiffel Tower. And then she's sitting there trying to think of designs, drawing in her sketchbook. Tiki's trying to help her out, but is kind of being a bit unhelpful.
Tiki annoys me at some points. I'm sorry. Stop being a mom, Tiki.
Facts.
Okay.
Like, she's like 16. Like, just cut her some
slack. She annoys me sometimes.
Yeah. So anyway, she's writing in her sketchbook, and then she looks up and sees a guy come in. And he sits down and like blows his little whistle thing, and all the pigeons come flying towards him, and he's just like, "Oh, hello, my dear pigeons." And he's basically in love with the pigeons, and he's like throwing like food at them, and they're like eating. And then the mean cop comes in and is just like, "You're not allowed to feed the pigeons. I know who you are. You've been banned from every park in Paris."
How do you get banned from every park in Paris?
By feeding all of the pigeons. When you're not supposed to, that's how.
Like, he must have been doing something bad if he got banned from every single part.
He was feeding all the pigeons. He's like, "You know what? You can't feed the pigeons, otherwise they'll like poop everywhere."
That's the law of nature.
This pigeon man is like another level of extra, so I'm not like too surprised got kicked out. Like, he just is. Like, there's extra, and then there's another level above that, that's Pigeon Man.
As soon as you see him, he's like walking in, so he's acting like a bird with his arms at his hip. He's doing the bird motion, and then it's been a while since I've seen this. So I'm sitting here watching. What the hell is this? What is happening? What is happening?
I remember this episode. This is actually one of my favorite Akumas because it's just so funny and ridiculous.
It's so cringy sometimes. Yeah. It's just
so
like,
anyway, like, he gets kicked out and the pigeon man sulks away, all sad. And then Tiki pops out and she's just like, "Look at that guy. He's like a human bird. All he needs is a feather jacket to complete the look."
And she's Marin like, "Oh, feather, is, and good idea."
Yeah, and Marin is like, "That's a good idea." And she makes this, like, feather hat. And in the meantime, Chloe... wants to win this competition, right? So she decides the best way to do that is to steal Marinette's design. So she has her little crony, Sabrina, I don't think we've talked about Sabrina.
Let's just stop and just like give Sabrina some credit because she really deserves more than she gets.
Yeah,
like,
Sabrina deserves right.
She deserves
honestly.
A better friend, honestly. Like, just in
general. So, like, let's talk about, like, I don't think we've talked about Sabrina yet, so we should, like, maybe touch upon, like, who Sabrina is. Well, I mean, just, like, briefly
wait
explain.
On that, no.
I don't know.
Because
right.
We're gonna get to the episode where that stuff, like, really matters, the Evil Illustrator episode.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in for that.
That's so, anyway.
The whole Sabrina spiel really kicks in.
Yeah, so anyway, Sabrina is Chloe's, like, best friend.
In air quotes. Slash, in
quotation. Yeah, I was gonna say, so slash friend, crony.
But, like, yeah, slash but crony. Chloe kind of, like, used her and, like, has... Chloe's always having Sabrina, like, do all of her bidding. And Sabrina loves Chloe and, like, kind of idolizes her, so she doesn't really, like, think much of it or, like, want to be away from Chloe. She just, like, loves Chloe so much and she would do anything for her. So Chloe, like, has Sabrina go, like, up behind, Marinette and, like, kind of take a picture of her design without Marinette noticing, and then, like, Chloe goes and, like, has her dad hire someone, who are her dad's a mayor, and she has her dad hire someone to, like, make this hat that was the hat that Marinette designed. So she kind of, like, copied Marinette's design. So anyway,
she cheated. That's what she did. She cheated. That's it.
Yeah. So Marinette gets a good. So she go then, like, once Marinette completes the design, she kind of goes off to make her hat. She's on. Yeah, she's like, she goes home. She's making the hat. However, in the meantime, yeah, and then she realizes the hat doesn't have a feather. So she runs back to the park, gets a feather, and starts to leave. But in the meantime, the pigeon guy is very sad. So Hoffmoth decides to take advantage of this.
Hold on. We have to do another segment. We have to do a segment that's just called, like, Hawk Moth Time, where basically he opens his window and he's like, "Hua, who am I gonna make sad today?" Yeah, James does it so perfectly. Yeah, basically that's the sound that he makes, and he goes, "Oh, that one person in Paris who's allowed to be sad. That's who I'm gonna turn." And then he makes his little purple butterfly. Yeah.
He takes the white butterfly, turns it purple, he evilizes it, and then sends it out through his giant window. And he says something along the lines of, no, he'll be like, "Oh, this one person is sad for this reason. Perfect prey for my Akuma." Then he makes the Akuma evil and sends it off, and he's just like,
"You know, we have
fly
to talk
away,
about
my precious little Akuma," and he evilizes him. And he says that. The butterfly goes into the object, and then he's just like, and he's like, "Mr. Pigeon, I am Hakma."
Basically.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're quoting it, like, word by word.
That's essentially what it is.
No, I remember, I love Hawkmoth's lines in this because it's so funny. And he was just, like, he's kind of talking into the guy's ear. Who's the pigeon guy, his actual name is Mr. Ramier. So he's kind of, like, talking into his ear and he's just, like, or into his head.
It's completely not.
And it's just, like,
creepy at all.
And he's, like, convincing him to, like, go back.
Join the dark side.
And he's just like, "What would Paris be without pigeons? What would pigeons be without you?" And I love that line. It's so funny.
That's so cliche.
And he was just like, and then, like, the guy, like, the pigeon guy is just like, "Power to the pigeons!" And
he turns into
pigeon guy. And starts doing, like, skinny. He's like, I can't even do it because, like, I can't do it. He's like, does, like, the roo thing. You know what I'm talking
roo,
about?
Roo, roo.
Yes, that. I can't do that. I can't make that, like, sound.
You know what? I think we don't even need sound effects. I think James should just do the sound effects for Miraculous.
So
Nino's costume was gross last week. We talked about
this one is like a jumpsuit.
Honestly, 7 out of 10 for me.
Honestly,
seven.
I love this one.
Seven.
It's iconic.
I love it. Yeah. I love Pigeon. I love his whole, like, Akuma thing where he's just, like, controlling. So basically, his power is to, like, control the pigeons. So he has, like, this, like, little bird call thing. He blows on it and does the roo-roo thing that James does better than me.
Roo!
That. So he does that, and then all the pigeons come and, like, do his bidding, and he's, like, talking to them, and he has, like, pigeon spies that are whispering in his ear.
It's super creepy. It's super
pigeon
creepy.
Pigeon spies. I love you.
It's very funny. So he has got all the powers, like, taken. He's got all the... No, not all the powers. He's got all the pigeons taking over. And then Marinette's on her way back home after, like, getting her feather, and the bus stops, and she looks outside, she sees, like, all the pigeons, like, on the ground, and she's like, "What is this?"
Okay. Two things I want to talk about is, the first time you saw Marinette go to get the feather, she just ran there. though we didn't see her take any bus.
That's the and the way thing. Back, she decides. And
the
to
way
take
back,
the bus.
She finally decides to
no,
take the bus.
No, she's too tired from sprinting the entire way from her house, and she has to take a
That's
bus
true.
Back.
That's true.
Another thing I want to talk about is how, the giant window that Butterfly Man opens up.
Butterfly Man.
That's what we'll call
no.
him.
No, we shouldn't call him Butterfly Man yet until we get her on the podcast.
Guest.
Until we get our special guest on the podcast.
Hawkmoth. Hmm. Okay, fine. We'll call him Hawkmoth. And nobody realizes that, but that's like the same window that's like outside of the Egress Mansion. Just something to keep.
Yeah.
No, wait. Wait, hold on. Do you actually see it from the outside, though?
Yes. Yes, you do. That's the very same window.
I didn't actually know that. I didn't pay attention enough.
Just
I knew it's there, but I didn't look.
It was there.
I thought we were doing spoiler free.
No, it's
not a spoiler though. I'm just pointing something out.
Too many.
Just
hints.
To keep in mind.
Exactly.
Just
yeah.
To keep in mind.
Okay. And then continue what you were talking about, Christina. All
right. So then, Marina goes and she sees like the pigeons, like and then she looks in the sky. And she sees like giant swarms of pigeons flying around. And then she goes on to, she looks at the news television thing that's kind of just like out there in the middle of Paris.
Oh. Wait, hold on. I just want to interrupt you for a little bit. Right. I love the news anchor lady. She's
oh, Nadia Shamak.
I love Nadia
Shamak. Yes.
So Nadia Shamak is like the news lady. She's the best. I love
okay.
Nadia.
Anyway, continue.
And she is like talking about like, oh, like Paris is being taken over by pigeons.
Paris is being taken like, over by the pigeons.
Thing, no, and the little like thing on the bottom, like, cause you know how like in the news things, there's like a kind of like a line on the bottom that kind of has like
the headline.
A title. Yeah, the
headline.
The headline. Thing. And the headline was like roo, like roo roo, or like
yeah,
how
spelled
James
with like
better.
Two R's and L and then like five O's.
Yeah.
Roo. That's kind of funny.
It was very funny, and he's just like someone named Mr. Pigeon would like to speak. And then Mr. Pigeon comes onto the news, and he's just like, "Remember, like, Paris belongs to the pigeons and stuff like that."
All this,
yeah.
Kind of.
It's just so dramatic.
It's like dramatic, but it's funny.
And,
okay.
I don't remember when this happens though, but I feel like I have to mention the pigeons kind of like start taking shapes. And this is one thing where the pigeons like kind of like form into like these like planes that kind of like fly in the sky.
That's very clever. I'm
It's
I'm
just kind of really gross.
That's clever. I'm glad they did that.
It is pretty like, cool, yeah.
Like sometimes I think about like real life and I think about like pigeons. Like I mean, I grew up in New York City. James, you did as well, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Like you think of pigeons and they're kind of gross and it's just like ugh. Like they're very nicely animated in Miraculous, but like in real life, kinda nasty.
Yeah, don't get the wrong idea, you know?
Yeah, so Marinette hides behind something, I don't remember what, and she's just like, Tiki, we have to go transform. And then she
this is what she
Tiki
does.
Tiki spots on.
She goes inside a subway where there's a bunch of people supposed to be, and
she's
conveniently,
so dumb.
But it's conveniently
nobody's
empty.
There and nobody hears her. Because that makes total sense.
And like, no one hears her when she like randomly like jumps up and yells, Tiki,
and yells,
Tiki
spots on.
Oh, both her and Adrian go in these random alleyways, and like nobody sees the bright light. That's
and
like
also like
flash.
Behind trash cans too, and like the most ridiculous, some of the most ridiculous places sometimes.
They're
one
so
of the episodes, I'm not gonna spoil it, but they were in the library and they decided it was a good idea to get behind a bookshelf and start to do it because that's a smart idea.
Oh my gosh, I remember.
And
that.
It's in the middle
of
a crowded library too.
Trash, like the whole student bodies and That also proves that there are other students at that school.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and occasionally you would see, like, a student that's, like, not from Marinette's class in school. No, because apparently, so in the next episode, I'm, like, not going to spoil anything, but there's this, like, character that, like, kind of turns into the Akuma, and that girl is actually seen in the school, like, as a student, like, in later seasons.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe she's like a foreign exchange student.
I know,
or something.
She is kind of like in the background. So occasionally, so it was like one of the, it was like an episode a long time ago where I think
maybe
it was when
she
was reacclimatized. It was for some reason, but she was at the school and she was kind of like going there. And there's this other
student. Oh, I know that, what you're talking about. I know what you're talking yeah. about. And you're talking about the
Stormy Weather Girl. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
But we'll touch upon that in the next episode. Yeah. And then there's also this other student that we meet later, and he's actually kind of like a bit of a main character, but he's from like a different class.
Oh yes.
That
yes,
you meet.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, and he ends up he likes to write and stuff, and he actually becomes an Akuma, but that's in later seasons.
We're trying really hard
to keep this really vague. Like we're trying to
and like occasionally like you would see like random characters in the school that like you don't recognize. They're just kind of like random people. They're not like important characters. They're just kind of like backgrounds, like extras, like walking around.
Yeah.
But like once in a while, you would like recognize someone, like the Stormy Weather Girl, and oh, and the other Weather Girl too. What was her? Nire was also characters in the next episode. So there are like these two characters that like are in the next episode. They're young and they're also there. They also like appear at the school.
And okay. Now before Christina spoils the whole entire show.
Sorry.
Back to Mr. Pigeons. What part are we on? We were talking about
we're on the part where Marinette just like kinda goes into an abandoned subway. Which for some reason is abandoned.
One thing I want to talk about is like in the next scene after she transformed, she's like jumping across the rooftops. There are like these first person shots which you actually see like the first person movement and all that stuff, like jumping from building to building. I thought that was really cool.
That is pretty cool. They actually have a few.
That's really clever. I like that.
Yeah, they have a few first person things in this episode actually, I think. I can't really remember where they are. Oh yeah. So anyway, and then she's running across the rooftops, and then Kat just kind of shows up on one of the rooms
and starts sneezing.
He says a pun, but I forgot what it was. But it's actually a pretty good one, but I don't remember exactly what he said.
I really just want to take like I want them to do a like they redo an episode, right? But they do it from Adrian or Kat's perspective, because like we see how Marinette gets there, and it's so random how she like figures out. Like what's happening, but I have no idea what he's doing. Like what, how did he get here?
Yeah, but like I feel like a lot of the times you do kind of see like how Adrian gets there, but most of the time like a lot of the stories kind of focus on Marinette, but occasionally you would get something that is kind of focused more on Adrian.
But it's not as often as Marinette. About this show, like this show kind of like I guess you could say Adrian a little bit. Yeah.
He doesn't get as much credit, annoying. And he kind of like, yeah, knocks him clearly, down a bit.
He clearly deserves more.
Yeah.
I think he kind of knows that he's the sidekick kind of position,
he knows that like people think of him as a sidekick, but like he also knows
they're partners.
He also knows that like Ladybug thinks of him as a partner, not a sidekick. You know what I mean?
Does. Yeah.
And he knows that she does really rely on him, and that she like kind of cares about him, and you know like needs him to be there.
I remember one of the episodes in later in the show. Ladybug actually said she trusts Cat Noir. I was like,
I know,
really?
Yeah.
Why do you trust this fool?
It's a random guy in a black cat suit. Why would you trust him?
You know what?
Yeah, but she does kind of trust him more than anyone else because he does. He's always saving her life. He does always kind of have her back, even if she doesn't know his real identity.
Yeah.
Which would be so much easier if they did. One
thing I kind of want to say, but also I feel like one of the reasons, like I feel like Adrian, like Kat doesn't really like mind not being the center of like the spotlight, and I feel like that's kind of maybe something that's kind of a bit refreshing for him, because I mean as Adrian, he's kind of always has the like people around him, he always has his attention. So then maybe as Kat, he probably doesn't mind as much since he already kind of gets that attention. And he just kind of maybe kind of like it's not on him anymore. He doesn't. I don't think he really minds it because of the fact that.
That's a good theory. That's a great.
Yeah,
theory.
That's actually makes so much sense.
Yeah.
See, Christina's the brains of the operation.
But he also does kind of
crazy
like
voices.
Yeah, he also does kind of, I guess, like getting attention, but like as Kat and as like kind of who he really is.
He likes getting attention from Ladybug, not exactly. from anyone else.
I guess
That's pretty much all he cares about, essentially.
Yeah, and I guess, and I feel like even when he does get attention from other people, I feel like he like would rather them like see him as Kat than see him as Adrian, if you know what I mean.
Exactly, right.
Because, like, to Adrian, like, Kat is, like, his true personality, where he could finally be, like, free and, like, kind of break free from all of, like, his perfect pretty boy.
Sorry, I'm really sorry. I just imagined... Do you know High School Musical 2, Bet on It?
Yes.
I just imagine... Kat doing that.
Oh, my God. No, we'll come back to like, the whole,
Bet. Kat. I can't sing it, though.
Kat's a clown later.
Bet on it.
This is a High School Musical, ladies. Come on.
Oh my God. Anyway,
I can't sing anyway. So
anyway,
I can kind of sing.
Isn't the police officer guy who like yelled at Pigeon
yes,
Man?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. No, but isn't he the father?
Yeah, he's Sabrina. He's Sabrina's dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so like they're both in power.
You figure that out later when like there's this episode where like
Roger Cobb.
There's an episode where they like at school they have like a bring your parent to school day kind of thing, and like the parent like kind of parents kind of come in like explain what they do, and like Sabrina's dad, the cop, like kind of like comes in and like does that. So you kind of see how he's, and you kind of get to, and also the cool thing about that is you kind of get to see like the parents and the different characters and kind of like who they are, what they do.
Right.
Okay. Wait, can we talk about, I think I'm remembering this correctly. Adrian's allergy to
Yes, that's hilarious. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, Kat curls down, he starts sneezing, and he's just like, sorry, I'm allergic to feathers.
No, that helps so much.
He says his pun, sneezes, rolls down the hill, and just like, sorry, I'm allergic to feathers.
It's like
the most inconvenient allergy to have for that episode.
Like, if you had to be more incompetent, like, let's give you an allergy to feathers. But actually, you know what? It fleshes out the character much more. Like, when you give them, like, little quirks, like allergies and things like that, it fleshes out the character.
And I also kind of like that because it gives, like, more depth to the character and, like, kind of, like, shows you, like, more about them and, like, their unique, like, quirks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like
to and I feel like it makes the character, like, more real, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I found it was funny. So anyway, let's go back to the battle. The battle, I guess, if you want to describe it. I mean, it's pigeons.
It's kind of hilarious. Okay. So like, then it's actually really
they're
funny.
They're trying. So then they're looking. And then, like, Kat explains that, you know, like, to Ladybug, that he also heard that Mr. Pigeon was taking the park keepers. So he's just like, they're all like, where can we find the park keepers?
Highly questionable.
Ladybug is just like, oh, but I don't know where we can find them, but I know where we can find us. So Kat is standing there in the middle of a park with a park keeper's hat on, wearing his black hat suit, but just with a hat on, so everyone thinks he's a park keeper, even though he looks completely like Kat Noir. Even the pigeon was fooled.
And
the pigeon knew it was Kat.
And then the funny thing is, he started whistling, and then. Then he started to dance like a crazy person. He started dancing the park.
He's kind of randomly dancing.
The lady was like, act natural or he'll never come. He's like, what do you mean? I am acting natural.
I am acting natural.
He's such a child.
Oh, I love that.
Gosh.
And then, like, the pigeon, then, like, one of Mr. Pigeon's spy pigeons is looking at the thing.
And even
the pigeon is not fooled that the pigeon knows that that's Kat, not just a regular park keeper, even though he's wearing the hat. Because the pigeon's not an idiot. He sees a giant black cat suit that he's wearing. And the pigeon flies off to Mr.
Adrian.
Pigeon and is just like, hey, Mr. Pigeon, Kat, Ladybug and Kat Noir are in the park. And he sends off his pigeons, and the pigeons kind of swarm in and take Kat away. And then Ladybug follows him, and they end up on this roof. And Mr. Pigeon's there, and he traps them in this giant cage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Should I keep going? Okay. So then they're trapped in this cage. And then he's just like, okay, give me your miraculouses now. Oh, and I really love this part. So he's kind of threatening them with the pigeons, and he has all the pigeons like line up around the cage that they're trapped in with their like butts pointed in. And
he's like, let Mr. Be, Pigeon let is just
like, yeah, and Mr. Pigeon is just, and Mr. Pigeon's just like, give me your miraculous.
I'm recording.
Yeah, give me your miraculouses now, or my dear pigeons will commence fire.
It's like, ooh, so spooky.
And pigeons. They're all like,
huh? Yeah, what? But then if you want to save your skins, then give me your miraculous. So yeah, and for some reason, like, I don't know if we mentioned this, and we probably did in the last episode, but like Hawkmoth, what he wants is like their miraculous, and that's kind of why he's creating all these villains. And he creates each villain, and the villain, their job basically is to take Ladybug and Cat Noir's miraculous, because for some reason Hawkmoth wants both of their miraculouses. No, but you don't really know why yet. You will find out why later.
And we know what the miraculous does if the two most powerful miraculous are combined. In this case, it's creative and destruction creation.
Yeah, but you don't, they don't tell you that yet. You have to wait till they find out what happens when you combine the two.
We have to give them at least some context.
Alright, fine. He wants, so apparently when, if you get both, if you take both miraculouses and combine them, you get like a power and you get to like wish something. And when episodes, you find out like
Okay.
So you get to make like any wish you want, and it has like the power to like, you know, power. So
he has the power to like power.
The power to power. So the power to have the power. Okay. So
oh my god.
Anyway. So like he has the pigeons lined up with their butts facing, and the pigeons are gonna like shoot poop on them if they don't give over the miraculous. And the pigeons are also like jumping on top of the cage, like shaking it. So scary. And
yeah, it's about to collapse.
Ladybug's just like Cat Noir, the bars. And Cat
Wait. But before that, the way that they got in the cage was the pigeons started to
swarm around them, like block quick. Their vision, and then
ideas, Bug? You're the cat. Don't you eat these things for breakfast?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then
that's the one thing.
Yeah.
So then I'm sorry to step on you, but like.
Yeah. So then Cat goes and uses his cataclysm, he destroys the cage. And honestly, I like Cat's power so much better than Ladybug's.
That like in intimidating walk.
Yeah, and they start like walking towards Mr. Pigeon.
He's like, they're like swagger. I don't even know what to call it.
The swagger walk up to Mr. Pigeon.
The swag walk.
The swag walk. The walk of swag.
The walk of swag.
The walk of swag. And then he walks up. Anyway. They walk up to Mr. Pigeon, and Mr. Pigeon does his bird call and like the roo thing that he does, kind of falls off of the building, and he's caught by the pigeons, and the pigeons form themselves into a throne, and fly him away while he's sitting on the throne made of pigeons.
Is it a throne or a sled? Because I think he's like Merry
No,
Christmas.
It's actually no. He comes up on like the kind of like a sled thing of thing. Then it changes form into a throne, and he's sitting on this throne and flying away. I know I remember this. I just watched the episode, and that kind of stuck in my brain because I wanted to mention it.
Okay.
Oh, and then at some point, I think as he was flying away, he said something like he did say Merry Christmas once in this episode. I don't know why, but I know he said it because it was stuck in my brain. And I'm just why is he saying Merry Christmas?
We should do, yeah, I think it takes place in the summer, so I don't know. Anyway, but we should do...
Yeah, this is like, kind of like sometime or during like the, it's not winter, it's the school, it's like the nice, happy, sunny school year.
Spring.
It's not the Christmas episode.
We should,
not
we
the
should
Christmas
do
an special.
When we get up to the Christmas special, we should do it. I'm so excited for that one.
Oh my god, this Christmas special is fun.
I mean, it's kind of just like a normal episode.
No,
like,
but it's a musical.
Really major happened.
It's a musical, which makes it funny.
Oh yeah, with the chest, I was thinking.
Start to sing.
Story for another episode.
Oh my god.
Joy to talk about.
I know one thing that I'm going to talk about with that during one of Marinette's songs. Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway. So. Yeah, so then he flies away on the throne, and then since Cat Noir just uses Cataclysm, he only has 5 minutes before he changes back. So they go into the hotel that the, so the mayor owns this hotel, right? So they go in, so they run into the hotel, and then they're just like, Cat Noir and Ladybug, like, oh, hi, like, you're here, or whatever, you're gonna save us from the pigeons. And then Cat was like, yeah, but first, like, I have an urgent need. And he kind of...
He's like, an urgent need? Oh, I see.
Oh, I see.
And the butler, he's like, do you want any food? He's like, no, can I get some camembert?
No, they're like, he's like, no. Because, like, they think he has to, like, go to the bathroom or something. Because, like, he's, like, jumping in, like, that
tissues,
way.
Yeah. He mentioned tissues.
No, and they're just like... Like, there's, like, paper up, like, go to the suite, there's, like, paper up there. Or perhaps did you prefer a litter tray? And he's like, no litter, but do you have any camembert?
Oh, yeah, right.
And he looked behind a lady and was like, what? And she's just like, I don't know. And so he goes up, he runs into the suite, closes the door, the butler
three times.
On.
The butler's like, how do you want your camembert? Ready!
Yeah, so he's just like, he's just like, how would you like your camembert?
He goes, ready!
Ready! And he was just like... And he, like, comes up with, like, the camembert... Like, three times he, like, comes to ask something and, like, Cat just kind of opens the door and quickly closes it back in his face. And he's there with the camembert and he, like, takes it.
Highly disrespectful.
He takes the camembert and transforms back. And then Plague kind of, like, flies out of the ring and goes onto the bed.
This is why I
love Plague. And Plague is just being all dramatic and he's just like, oh, my poor aching body. I can't move a muscle.
He goes, you want a bet?
Yeah, and then Adrian brings out the cheese and puts it down. He's like, you want a bet? And then Plague is like, shoots up. Plague shoots up, like, hugs the cheese and it's just like, my gooiness, and starts eating it.
Yeah, honestly, I think for Christmas, Marinette, instead of whatever Christmas gift she got him, she should have gotten him, like, a camembert, like, launcher. Honestly. Sure.
She should have gotten it to Cat, at least. Not necessarily Adrian.
A camembert launcher.
Camembert launcher.
Mm-hmm.
It smells so bad, though. It'll probably, like, delay it. It'll probably do something to their enemies. But Plague would be, like, horrified that they're, like, wasting his precious cheese on something like that. So yeah, anyway,
Plague would not be happy with that.
Using the cheese to fight the bad guys, he'd be like, "No, cheese is for eating, not for fighting."
Honestly, waste the cheese.
Don't waste the precious cheese. My gooiness.
Anyway, do you guys want to say how the episode ended? I mean, we kind of did, but
We're getting there.
But we didn't talk about the whole like sneak attack thing. Where it's just like, sneak attack, open up the window.
Oh, wait, we're getting there. So then it goes back to Ladybug, and then Ladybug and Cat are just like, okay, we're gonna go. They follow the pigeons to where the hideout was, and they kind of like, they find that, and Cat was just like, all right, let's set the cat among the pigeons. And Ladybug's just like, no.
Oh my god.
You have to go with that. So anyway, they go up onto this, like, high window above the room. So they're in the room that, like, the pigeon guys are in. There's, like, this giant, like, glass ceiling with, like, windows all around and stuff. So the whole ceiling is kind of, like, clear and, like, glassy. So they're kind of, like, up there, like, looking down at Mr. Pigeon. And then Ladybug's like, okay, we're gonna do a sneak attack. I'll open the window. Like, I'll pull him out. You, like, you distract him or something. I'll pull him out. And then you, like, grab his bird call from him because they figured out that the bird call was what the Akuma hat was hiding in. And then we'll smash it and it's fine. So then she opens the window, right? But then, instead of doing what they planned, the feathers come flying at Cat. And of course, he sneezes and gives away their position.
So he's like, oh, so much for the sneak attack.
And then they're just like, the pigeon turns around and they're just kind of like standing there like, oh, so much for the sneak attack. And they just kind of like jump at him. And they're fighting anyway. Mr. Pigeon.
Yeah.
Fighting Mr. Pigeon. Ladybug uses her lucky charm and it's just this random coin.
She gets a coin.
What? And it didn't happen in this episode, but usually in the episodes, like for some reason not in this one, but in the other episodes, Cat usually makes some sort of like clever comment on like whatever her lucky charm is. Because on the last one, when it was like a giant wrench, he was just like, "How are your plumbing skills gonna help us?" And he kind of just like always like kind of usually makes a comment on like what the thing is that
the thing is
came out of the Lucky Charm.
And yeah, so so did you like this episode more or less than episode one?
Well, we didn't get to how they defeated it. She ended up using the coin to put it in a vending machine, and then she took like the bird food, pigeon food out of it for some reason, threw it at him, and he was covered in bird food, and the pigeons attacked him, which probably wasn't even necessary since she already kind of had him grabbed in her yo-yo and kind of yanked him up and then destroyed the bird call. Everything was fine. Oh, and then after we have to talk about after when she wins the competition.
Marionette
goes back to school. She gets her feather. She finishes the hat with like the finishing touch of the feather like sticking out of the side. And she goes in, and this part's really clever, so we kind of have to talk about this. So she kind of goes in, but then as soon as she gets there a little bit late, and she gets it, and then all these are like, wait a minute, your hat is the same as Chloe's, and Marinette's just like, what? And then Natalie comes in, which is Gabriel's assistant, and then they're like,
where's Gabriel? She pulls up the tablet,
where's Mr. Aggress? And she pulls up the tablet with Gabriel's face on it.
Oh my gosh.
So he doesn't even come in person, he's just
His face looks so unenthused, like he looks like he's a burden. He looks so mad, he's like, Kuma didn't work, what's gonna happen?
You just spoiled it, okay.
No, I didn't.
No, continue.
So anyway,
So Gabriel's on the iPad.
Gabriel's on the iPad. His face.
FaceTime.
And like Natalie's like walking around with a tablet, showing him the different things, like putting his face up to like each hat.
And then he
goes to Marinette, and he's just like, turn the tablet back towards Mr. Azul, and he's like, what's the meaning of this? Because they're the same thing. And then Chloe's like, oh no, fair, Marinette, she copied my design. And then Marinette's just like,
No, I didn't.
I can prove that this hat is my original design.
God, yes.
So on the hat, there was like this little like golden like design around the rim. But when you turn it upside down, it's like a secret element that only the designer would know about. So the like golden thing is there on both things, but like the little golden design is on both hats. But when you flip the hat over, it's actually Marinette's name, and she kind of signed the hat, and Marinette's name is also on Chloe's hat because she copied the design. So it kind of like proves that the hat is Marinette's, and Gabriel was very impressed by that, so he made her the winner. And then Adrian puts the hat on and starts sneezing, and you realize that both Adrian and Cat Noir are allergic to feathers. But does anyone?
Does anyone
connect the dots?
Connect the dots.
And now the episode is over, and we could go back and talk about it.
Okay. I apologize for the excess getting away from the podcast and the excess calling your parents. That's not.
It's fine. My phone is gonna die soon,
edit
though,
that out.
So we might want to wrap this up quickly though.
What were you gonna say before about like?
Oh yeah, did you like this episode more or less than the last episode? I think I liked it much more.
I liked it more because I love Mr. Pigeon. Mr. Pigeon has a special place in my heart. I love this episode. I love that random guy with the pigeons.
I like the school plot as well. Like I like the designer stuff and like and I like the allergies.
Yeah,
so.
I like how sometimes there's like a second like kind of thing going on at school that's like...
Like a B plot.
Yeah.
Like a little like plot, like, I guess, loop extra or something like that. Loop extra? What the hell is a loop extra?
I thought this power was like really funny and unique, and how like he was able to do so much just by like controlling the pigeons. Power to the pigeons.
Who's the most powerful villain, Mr. Pigeon?
Obviously.
Mr. Pigeon.
Duh.
Anyway, would someone like to sign us off?
I will. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. I'm sorry if our voices sound dead. We are very tired.
We are
exhausted.
We should stop recording this at like 8:30, 9:30 at night. That's probably not the best idea. But anyway, thanks so much for listening.
I'm a night owl, so I enjoy this.
Of course.
I'm glad Chris is having a good time.
I am having a good time.
thank you all for coming. The next one's gonna come up probably this Friday. We'll see what happens.
Yes. And then, having a grand old time.
Tune in to y'all later. Good night.
All right, good night.